coding. Sad. But anyway, it's cool. 1 Corinthians 15:32. Yeah, read it, please. Or let me read it, since I have the mic. All right. So 1 Corinthians 15:32. It says, "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts in Ephesus, what advantageth it me?" That word advantageth is, what's the benefit? Another place, James 2:14. James 2:14. All right, James 2:14. I read. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not works, and can faith save him?" The word profit means, is the same word here, ophelemos or ophelos. All right. So now we understand that the Bible has a profit. What's the profit? Salvation to faith. I know I'm saying this over and over again. So now the next one is doctrine. It said it's profitable for doctrine. How does your, go back to 2 Timothy 3. Doctrine. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16.
It says, "All scriptures is inspired by God."
By God.
"And it's useful to teach us what is true."
Oh, the word teach us what is, what translation is that?
It's NLV.
NIV?
NLT, sorry.
NLT. NLV. I haven't heard that translation before. New Living Version. Okay, cool. All right, so it's able to teach you, right?
It's true.
Yeah, the word able to teach you is the word didascalia. Write that down. It's a word that you need to remember forever. Woo! Someone called. Yeah.
It broke.
Nah, it's all right. It's safe. Mom, it's
calling.
It's safe. That's why I put my own on silent, because I think both people would have sent me messages while I'm still trying to vibrate. It's good, man. It's good so far.
I hope it's still, is it still live?
Yeah, it's still live.
All right, let's see who's there. I don't know. Oh, cool.
Is
all
it
right.
Instagram boy?
He's mine. It's my Instagram. Do you want to flip the camera and hold it here instead?
Yeah, hold it there.
No, just flip the camera. So, yeah. How did it do that? Yeah, here.
At the top button.
Have you done that? Is it flipped?
Yeah.
All right, so what did I say? I said didaskalia. Didaskalia there is teaching. Now, the problem with translation, some of them add words, and that's not too good. So, this King James, that's my prescription for you. All right. So, doctrine or teaching is didaskalia. Didaskalia was used in Matthew 15:9. Look at it. Matthew 15:9. And I'll read it. Matthew 15:9. All right. I'm there.
Yeah.
I read. "But in vain do they worship me, teaching," this is the word they're teaching, "teaching doctrines." How does the translation put it?
For they teach man-made
what?
Ideas.
Man-made ideas.
As commands from God.
So the idea is that they're teaching their own commandments, not God's commandments. And they say it's from God. So in the Bible, we have people teaching commandments that are of men. King James says the commandments of men, doctrines of men, is the word didascalia. But there's a commandment of men and a commandment of God. Do you see that? Commandment of men and commandment of God. People look at the Bible and say, everything is God speaking. So whatever you see in the Bible, okay, let's go to the Bible. I woke up this morning and the Spirit of God dropped on my heart. He impressed on my heart to speak about. He took me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verse, let's just say, whatever. Or let's just say the popular one, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11. "And I know the thoughts that I have for you, the thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you, to give you hope and bring you to an expected end." God is saying, God brought it to my heart this morning. And he said, "My people, I have a good plan for you. I have a good plan. Just believe. You know, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter. I will give you expected end." And everybody says, amen. Now, that sounds good, right? That's not bad. It doesn't hurt. But that's a lie. That's a lie. It's worse than saying a lie. You know, when you say, when I speak to you, for instance, let's assume, okay, let's have a conversation. Okay. Now, watch this. Watch this. Hello, brother. My name is Justice. What's your name?
Anderson.
Oh, really? You went to the sports area this evening?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Are you serious? I was at McDonald's as well today. Are you kidding me? You know, can you see that we're not communicating? I'm saying something that is different from what he's saying. He's saying something, I'm misinterpreting him. Now, you see, that's the same way when you read the Bible and you don't... Is that still you?
No, someone else.
Okay.
This person,
really. Who is this person? What's the problem?
Three times he called.
Okay, go on.
All right, so when you read the Bible and you don't get the communication and you interpret something else and give it to your members or go and preach it outside, you have lied. That's a lie. And God hates lies. So, you are teaching the doctrine of men. When someone says, God will bless you because you have served him very well, that's a lie. That's a lie. It's in, I will show you in the Bible. When someone says, God only respects those that respect him. What Bible are you reading? Have you heard about people that crucified Jesus? And it's the same people that Jesus died for. People that called him names. Glutton. False teacher. Blasphemous teacher. Sorcerer. ETC. And he still healed them. They didn't respect him. In fact, they insulted him. They insulted him. At the point they slapped him, they beat him. That's people slapping God. People will say, you know, when you've tried prayers, you've tried worship, you've tried this, try praise, and then when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Somebody begin to praise God. That's a lie again. There's nowhere it says in the Bible. In fact, there's some things that are written in the Bible, people quote, but there's some things that are not even what the Bible is saying. When you say stuff like, you know, for God to bless you, you have to, you know, I've heard this before. There are three levels to God's blessings. And the Bible says there's the outer court, there's the inner court, and there's the holies of holies. Now, I want to teach you, I want to give you a mystery. I want to give you some revelation. And you hear some people say, flow, pastor, flow, come on, flow. Like something is wrong with them. Flow, 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 come on, flow. I hear you. And then the pastor goes, now, can I flow? Can I flow? All right. Now, the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. So, you enter his outer courts with thanksgiving. So, when the first level of getting to God is praise. So, come on, let's praise God now. Everybody's praising God. And then, the next level is to get into the inner courts. I don't know what mystery they have for that. Then you get to the holies of holies. Holy of holies is a place of worship. Where you worship. Where David said, I want to be in your house forever. I've desired to be in your temple, worshiping you forever. That's the place. That's the holies of holies. That's where God meets with you. Lie. We don't enter God's gates. There are no gates to enter God's. There's no gate anywhere. Once Christ comes into you, there's no gate. Once you open your mouth, Abba Father, he said, he has sent forth his spirit in us, whereby we cry, Abba Father. Romans 8. We cry, Abba Father. Everywhere you are is where God is. You don't need to enter. There's no approaching. There's no veil. There's no distance. There's no blockade between yourself and God. There's nothing like a distance. All the gates have been brought down. Mind me to mistakenly quote this scripture. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. That's a sign of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Another one that we use in the Bible is, we say, what we want to do, praise and worship. We say, sorry, let me just do this.
So,
please.
How would you explain the verse then that says, enter his gates with thanksgiving?
How would I explain the gate? Yeah. All right, now. I'm going to explain that, all right? I just want to show you some things because it's important to know.
I've actually heard that verse so long. So yeah. My time, I don't know.
Exactly.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Yeah.
So, how would you describe it?
It's not like that. That's why the Bible has to be read with respect to testamental differences. I was explaining that. So there's another quote again. You know this quote. I'm very sure. There's a quote that goes like this. It says, when you want to lead praise and worship, for instance, you'll be like, everybody, let's praise God, you know, because the Bible says in the presence of God there's the fullness of joy. Oh, somebody, show your joy. Now, when the Bible says in your presence is the fullness of joy, he was not speaking of praise and worship. He was speaking about when the word presence then is appearance, actually. The Hebrew word is appearance. That is, in the appearance of Christ is the fullness of joy. What appearance? The resurrection of Jesus. If you read in context, Psalm 27, so if you read it in context, you discover that it's saying at the appearance of Jesus is the what? Is the fullness of joy. It's not for praise and worship. So when he said at the presence of God, he's talking about the death. Remember salvation, the scriptures for salvation. He's talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Are you still there? Amen. Sorry. All right, look at it here. Psalm 16 verse 11. Let's look at it together. Psalm 16 verse 11. Look at it. It says from verse 1. Okay, well, let's wait for you to get there. The Bible is about salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All right, 16 verse 11. Now, for you to understand the scripture, remember, you have to read from the top. Okay, now, look at it. This is David writing. And when David was writing, he was writing about the resurrection of Jesus. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 2, right? At the advent of speaking in tongues. We spoke about speaking in tongues. So the first time the disciples of Jesus spoke in tongues, someone came and interpreted, that is, he explained to people what was going on. So when he was explaining that to people, he told them, this is what David wrote about. David said, you know, first of all, he quoted another prophet before David. He said, on the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And they now spoke about David, what we're about reading now. He spoke about David. David wrote about Jesus. He said that David wrote that Jesus, when he was in the place of the dead, or what we call hell, Jesus said, you will not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You will not leave your Holy One in hell. Yes, so he said, quoting and quoting and quoting what David said. So what we are going to see here is what David wrote about what Jesus would say. Are we following? So let's look at it now. This is Jesus' statement. Look at it. Preserve me, O God, from verse 1. For indeed do I put my trust. So don't look at it like David. Look at it like Jesus when he was dead. All right? So, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art the Lord, my goodness, my goodness extended not to thee. Let's just go to verse 5. Let's see 5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. Verse 6. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. That's Jesus. All right? I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. All right? Who have given me counsel, excuse me. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in nine seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because at my right hand I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices. My flesh shall also rest in hope. Verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Do you see that? That's Jesus speaking, not David. Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Now, this is not David, this is Jesus. Because David died, he saw corruption, not Jesus, but Jesus didn't see corruption. All right, so verse 11, thou will show me your path of life, and in thy presence is the fullness of joy, at thy right hand are the pleasures forevermore. Whose statement is this?
David.
Jesus. But David wrote about Jesus. So at whose presence? Jesus's presence. Remember, it was in hell. So this is about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. It's not about praise and worship. David's mind was not in praise and worship when he was writing this. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, if you just read the Bible carefully, you will get it properly. Another one we put is, okay, you asked a question. Let me just treat your question quickly. A thing about entering the gates of God, it was what David said. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a tabernacle. They had a distant relationship with God. So they had to go to the place to see God. All right, there was a place you are going. So you enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts. So there was an entrance because of distance in relationship. So he was referring to
the time of the tabernacle when they still had to enter.
So, but when Jesus died and resurrected, he said to a woman, he said, no longer would anyone go to anywhere to seek to where to worship. He said, for all men will worship me in spirit and in truth. In spirit means in Christ. In spirit, in truth. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the spirit. So when he was saying in spirit and in truth, he meant they will worship me in the place that is not distant from, that we are, they will worship me in a relationship that is not distant. That is, they will worship me in reality. They worship me in koinonia, in fellowship, in oneness. Where you are is where God is. You don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to go to Jerusalem to see God. Is anything happening?
No,
the gaze of her.
The spirit is on fire.
Labor over her. Oh my goodness. I have a charger though, but that might be the only place to charge it.
So,
yeah. All right. So, you just check this phone, this bag. This my charger is inside there. All right. So, are we still there? Okay. So. I was explaining that. So now in the New Testament, we worship God where? In spirit and in truth. So God lives in us. There's no place to enter again. He now lives in us. All right. You know, the Bible says that. It said in Romans 8, verse 1. Please look at Romans 8, verse 1 just to show you. Have you seen it?
No, it's the white one.
Yeah.
No,
you haven't seen it? I know, I didn't care. Hold on. Have you checked this area? I know I brought my charger, but I don't know if I kept it in, probably in that place or something. Probably it's there. Give me a second. So, it's not here. Okay, it's here. Yeah. All right. We are almost closing. I'm gonna round off very soon so that we can go.
Okay, how do you turn on the
live? The camera. Then live. Go live. Alright. Perfect. So now, have I explained that properly? Romans 8, please look at Romans 8. From verse 1, it says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The next part of that, please read your translation. I want to hear that.
It says, and because you belong to him,
mm-hmm.
the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death.
Yes. That's all right. That's an excellent translation. Because King James Version says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He then adds, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. That's not in the originals. In the original document, it does not exist. So, verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son, the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might fulfill in us, who do not walk after the flesh, but after the spirit. Verse 5. For they that after the flesh do many things of the flesh, but they that are by the spirit, the spirit things of the spirit. Verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Please pay attention. Verse 7, we're getting somewhere. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9, now, but you are not in the flesh but in the spirit. So you are where? In the spirit. How does verse 9 go there?
He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
You are controlled by the spirit. If you have the spirit of God,
the control is not there. You know, translations really water down things. In the spirit, it's a new creation reality. In the spirit, so it says we are in the spirit. The spirit of God is inside of us. We are in Him; He is in us. So it says, if you have the spirit of God, if you are born again, or it says, if so be the spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, is none of his. All right, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. So we are in the spirit, right? The spirit of God lives in us. God has sent forth his spirit in our hearts, crying out, Father. All right, so anyone that tells you enter his gates, tell him that I already exist in the innermost place. I don't need to go anywhere. I don't need to go somewhere to feel the presence. Anywhere I am, Rabba Sata, hey Akata, that's the presence of God. All right, praise God. Now we look at one thing, and we're going to close here. We said something, that not everything in the Bible is written by God, or rather, not everything is for you. Now, we want to examine some things. When you look at the Bible, not everything that you see that says, and the Lord said, is actually the Lord. Not everything you see in the Bible that says, and the Lord said, I'll show you, that is actually the Lord. For instance, people feel like, there's a guy called, have you heard about Moses before? Moses, the leader of the Israelites. People feel like Moses saw God in the burning bush, but that's not true. He never saw God. But you see, when he wrote it, you say, and the Lord. Because when you're writing, when those men were writing the Bible, they wrote it according to their understanding. Let's look at Acts 7:35. All right, I read it. And you read your translation. Just listen to this. So the idea people have is that Moses saw God in a burning bush. So let's look at what this verse says. It says, this Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. So it says an angel appeared to Moses here in the bush. But if you read the Old Testament, it was as though God appeared to him. All right? That's one thing to notice. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. Hebrews 2 verse 2. We are going to close now. Alright. Hebrews 2 verse 2 says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Which word was? The word was spoken by who? Angels. How did your translation put it?
The message God delivered through angels.
So, this is too, I can't say this word too early. When you see and the Lord said, don't conclude that it's God. It's not God. God. Angels are ministering spirits. Hebrews 1:14. It was not God everywhere. But you know, we can't say words like God never spoke. Of course, we know God spoke, but he was speaking through mediators. He was speaking through servants, not through men. So now, praise God. So look at something. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Do you know the Ten Commandments? Look at Exodus 20. Let us play with something a little bit, and then we go to the next lesson next time. All right, Exodus 20.
This is every Friday, bro.
Exodus 20. This is Exodus 20. Yes. Okay, now look at it.
Verse 1.
Look at it. It says, and God spake all these words, saying. So the average Christian that does not understand the Bible would say, this is what God spoke. I made a post on Facebook. I did a post and I wrote, I said, when you see the Bible says, and God is a consuming fire, it does not mean that God kills people. It's not a potential of God to kill people. It was, if you read in context, it was talking about God's ability to destroy the law and bring us salvation through faith in Christ. That was why they called him consuming fire. That's by the way. So somebody then commented and said, how dare you speak like that? Are you trying to say that the law that God gave was evil and that he destroyed his own laws? I didn't reply him. You know, when someone comes to you and is proud, you just, I won't reply you. But when you want to learn, I would know. If you want to psych me, if you are asking me questions to you know, make a fool out of me, I will know. By the grace of God, I know. So I didn't reply him. But let's look at it. Exodus 20. It says, and God spoke on as all these words. Read your translation.
God gave the people all these instructions.
And God gave the people all these instructions. So it says God. Okay. God. God. Okay. Next verse. It says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt not have no other gods. We get all this. So it goes on to give him commandments. So can we agree this? Everything you see after this is God speaking. Can we agree that? Right? So now let's go to Exodus 21. Exodus 21 verse 22. Look at it. If men strive, are you there? It says, if men strive and hurt a woman, that is, if someone hurts a woman, it says, with her child, that's a prayer I'm going to say, so that her foot depart from her. And yet, so what he's saying is, if someone, you know, beats a pregnant woman, basically, this is the punishment. This is the punishment. He said, he shall surely be punished according to the woman's husband will lay upon him. He shall pay, the judges and all that. So verse 23, it says, and if any mischief follows, then you shall give life for life. Verse 24, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Verse 25, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Does this sound like what Jesus would say? He said, whatever, if you do something wrong, you should pay for it. That is, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. In a sense, like, and people have that mentality today. If you do me bad, I do you bad. If you do me good, I do you good. Yes, the same God is saying, don't pay evil for good in the New Testament. It does not make sense. It does not add up. Here he's saying, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Whatever you do, you do. If someone, look at another place. If you look, okay, let's just tell Exodus. So can we agree that it's God that said this? Right? As it's written here. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Look at another place, Leviticus 24. We are rounding up now. Please, I want to show us this. So we
24.
Leviticus 24:19. It says. If a man cause a blemish in his neighbor as he had done, so it shall be done to him. Verse 20, breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he had caused this blemish. Verse 21, he that killeth a beast, and so on and so forth. Look at Deuteronomy, the last one. Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19. Verse 19 to 21. Yeah. It says, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought, alright, to have done unto his brother. So shall thou put the evil away from among you. Verse 20. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall send forth commit, and shall henceforth commit no more of any evil. Verse 24. And thy eye shall not pity, but life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. So now, Moses has said God said. But the problem is this. Jesus comes in Matthew 5, verse 38. Now, let's assume we don't know what Jesus said. In this class, previously we have established that Jesus is God. So whatever Jesus is saying is God speaking. Alright? There are many scriptures to prove that, and that will be done later. So Jesus comes in and says, You have heard it has been said. Look at it, Matthew 5. Matthew 5, verse 38. I read, Jesus comes. Let me read verse 37. But let your communication be yea, nay, nay. For whosoever is more than this cometh of evil. Verse 38. Ye have heard, it has been said. Notice Jesus didn't say, you have heard, God said. He have heard, it has been said. He even regarded it like a rumor. You've heard, it's a saying, it's a common saying. You have heard, it has been said. Let's watch. Let me ask you this question. Is Jesus God?
Yes.
Jesus is God. He's not a demigod. He's not a messenger of God. He is God in flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without all controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest. God manifest. Isaiah chapter 9. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Jesus is God. He's called Emmanuel, God with us. So Jesus is God. Established. Now, whatever Jesus will say is God speaking. Now, so Jesus says, you have heard, it has been said. Not, I didn't say it. But he said, but I say. He didn't see this. He says, you have heard. People have been saying this. An eye for an eye. A tooth for a tooth. Whatever you do, I do. Whatever I don't do, I don't do. So if I praise God, he's going to bless me. Ah, that's not God. God cannot be proactive. He can't be waiting for me to do something. He said, you have heard. People have been saying. There are sayings that are not what God is saying. But he said, you have heard. It has been said. But I. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. He says, but you have heard. And he says, but I say. But I say that ye resist not evil. But Christians don't like this verse. I mean, many Christians. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if any man will sue you to the law, take your coat also and let him have your cloak. All right? It goes on to 44. It says, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. It's very, very key to understanding what is written in the Old Testament. When I tell people this, they're a false teacher. You're rewriting the Bible. Me? Did I write? Do you see me with pen? I didn't change anything. I just allowed the Bible to explain itself to me. You don't use your mindset to read the Bible. You don't use your mom's mindset to read the Bible. You let the Bible speak to you. Read it. What is it saying? Study the Bible. It's clear that God didn't say that. Hebrews 2:2, angels. And next week, we would see why there were so many errors, killings in the Old Testament that that God was accused of.
Yeah, that's a lot of things they say, because they say that God is such a loving God.
However, you see, so it's a difficult thing to preach a loving God when he has been killing people.
So how do you rectify that and really explain?
It's through Jesus.
I'd love to hear that.
It's through Jesus. God does not kill. God has never killed. God will never kill. Never, ever. He's a good father. He's a good father. He's a good father. Hallelujah. We have to end here. He's a good father. Let's rise to our feet. God is a good father. He's a good father. Labahazi. God is a good father. He's a good father. Lakrovahada Zuza. When God said, I am a good God, he meant he's a good God. He meant he's a good God. Let's not look at God as someone that is, he's good, but, sometimes he can do bad. No, that's not true. There's no point where God gets angry. There's no point. He's a good father. He's a good father. And we're going to see this in weeks to come. We're going to see this in weeks to come. Thank you, Father. Just say thank you for your word. Just give God praise for the word. Give him praise for the word. Give him praise.